Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to continue on our second to last sermon topic in this topic where we look at this big question, what about? And these are intended to be topics that we sometimes shy away from or are afraid to address or sometimes don't even get to hear about enough. And it's important for us as Christians and churchgoers to know that our faith is relevant, that what we believe in is relevant to all the issues going on in our life. Now, today is probably the one of the biggest and or even most uncomfortable of topics because it hits closer to home. We talk about our human sexuality. As Christians, we know that God has made us, and what God makes is good. Even down to who we are in our bodies, our sexuality, God claims us and calls it good. So today we're going to acknowledge some things that are topics that are really touchy. But the biggest thing to understand, to know, is that regardless of how touchy or big of a topic, that we address all of them with love and compassion. And that's how we're going to address today's topic of human and Christian sexuality, sometimes even homosexuality or transgenderism. Now, I know that some of you might have family members or friends, or it might be even closer to home for some of you. For me, I know I have a cousin that claims to be a lesbian. I have even a friend that I went to the seminary with. He wanted to be a pastor at one point. He dropped out and decided that he wanted to become a woman. So he was a transgender person. These are people in our very own lives, so I acknowledge that you might have these people in your own life too. And there was one such person that told me that they were a man trapped in a woman's body. Eventually, they were born. See, he was a man that was in his woman's body. He was his mother's body, but he was born. He was a baby. A man trapped in a woman's body. And I think that's what it is. Even though that seems like a kind of a humorous way of talking about it, we are one of two things, either man or woman. I'm going to say something very bold, even coming from a pulpit, but there is no such thing as transgender. Believe that. There is no such thing as it. It's a lie. When it comes down to it, you're either XX or XY, those chromosomes. You're either a man or a woman. That's what genetics even tells us. It's what physiology tells us. Even science. It's reality. God created man to be male and female. Now, the notion that you and I or someone or something could be anything other than your biology, it's actually a cultural construct. It's what the world kind of comes up with. It's intended to be an attack on God. And that's why it's important for us to talk about today in church. The notion that you can be something other than what your biology tells you, it's a cultural construct intended to be an attack on God. Now, how can that be? We may not see it that way, but that's what it is. When you, in your own thinking, say, I know what's best, or I am going to be something what somebody else tells me I am different, you're essentially placing yourself in God's position. And I think it's dangerous because when we do that, when we say our identity is something than it actually is, when we claim we're not who we are, we ended up cutting ourselves off from reality. We make the claim that we are not who we actually are. When we turn ourselves into our own God. And I think if you sift through all the politicalness of it all, I think that's what we really have at hand. When people at their very heart want to become their own God, that they have their own truth, that they have their own answers. The problem is when a person says that about their identity, that they're even their body, their human sexuality, that they can make up their own truth, that all of a sudden a man can be a woman or a woman could be a man or anything in between. When you start messing with your identity, you lose actually who you are. Some even said that a person who claims to be a transgender person is 19 times actually more likely to commit suicide. 19 times. And I think it's only because that you lost a sense of who you are. Your meaning in your life is changed at that point. You end your identity, essentially, when a person becomes transgender. You end any sense of normalcy to your relationships. You end your ability to have children. And you end your ability to have a marriage that is actually a real marriage. And you end your ability to connect with a sense of community. All because of the claim that you are who you, your own person is. This is the extreme form of isolation. I think that's what leads people even to more sense of loneliness. You say that I am not who I actually am, or who God tells me I am. And you literally disconnect yourself from existence. You're in some sort of fantasy. Now, I realize what I'm saying to a lot of people might be a harsh thing to say. But I think it's the true thing to say. And I think this will all continue to escalate. In our world, it doesn't just end or start with our own physical body. It can kind of go anywhere. You can claim your identity to be tied to anything you want it to be. People are told to construct whatever truth that they want. We live in a world right now that in the first time, I think, in the history of humanity, that you can claim your own personal truth. Whatever is important to you, or whatever you think is real, is the truth. But I don't know how you feel, but I think there is a sense of objective truth in the world. There is a sense of universal truth that this is how it is, no matter what. The problem is when we change that, then the whole world kind of unravels. We live in an age of the internet when I think it makes it easier for us, that we can kind of make our own alter ego of some sorts. We can change who we really are. We can claim to be a different person. You can create and live in your own virtual world. And this is why some have said that in actuality, the sexual revolution is the most important aspect of our time. Forget about in the 1700s, 1800s when we had the Industrial Revolution, where we learned how to mechanicize how we live. We had factories to make our jobs easier. Forget about the American Revolution, where we founded our country and learned how to live as citizens. The sexual revolution, way back in maybe the 50s and 60s in our country, just very recently has changed the way we look at our lives in the world. I read about a story that recently in Australia that there was a 5-year-old boy that had a sex change performed, an operation that his parents demanded. A 5-year-old person, a 5-year-old child. How does that sort of thing happen? How can we get to a point where we say we don't accept what we're given? That we're not happy with a boy, we want a girl, so we're going to make that happen. Regardless of the child's wishes. That's the world we live in. Now, When we're thinking about these such topics, when we go home today, when you kind of address maybe even the people that kind of have this going on in their own life, realize that this is something where you need not a lack of love to be forceful, but that you have compassion. Because when people see the Christian world speak truth, it always has to be in love. People don't want to see a Christian telling them what they can or can't not do, because they're turned off immediately by God, and then it creates this same problem. At the heart of the matter, I think, with our age of living in people that are attracted to different genders, people want to be a different gender themselves, when they want to change their identity even, the issue at hand is a God issue. The issue is a sense of loneliness, a sense of not getting affirmation. And I think it's because that we were created, both man and woman, with that sense of a hole in our heart. And it's a God-sized hole. And when we start to fill that void in our heart with anything else other than God, we get ourselves into a mess. We have a God-sized hole in our heart, in our soul even. And some people will try to fill it with relationships, some appropriate, some inappropriate. Some will fill that void, that God-sized hole in their heart, with work. Some will fill it with money. Some will fill it with anything. But it's only until you have that puzzle piece that God made him to fit into in your heart, then you'll actually have the full sense of belonging that was intended. And I think that's the issue at hand. We have people that are confused in our world, even our own selves. Sometimes people are attracted to things that they shouldn't be. And it's all because we're searching for meaning. We're searching for our true identity. And the problem is we don't need to make that decision up on our own. We don't need to declare our own identity by our own thinking, our own mind, our own heart. It's okay to have that given to you, to be given to us, that we can say God declares our own identity. We are not our own. You see, what's going on in our world, both with our issues of human sexuality, is that we're not just fighting God with our bodies, saying what is good and what isn't good. We're actually fighting God on a much higher level. We're fighting God in his sovereignty. We're saying that what God has done isn't good enough. As if we can say that. What God has done isn't good enough all of a sudden. And then we declare a war on God. When we choose our own identities, when we choose our own appropriate things that we're attracted to, we get to a point where we won't let God tell us who we actually are. And that's when we get estranged from not just God, but from one another. You see, our sexuality, our bodies, our spirits, we're meant to be connected to other people in the right ways. And that's a good thing. And the moment we step aside from that, we declare war on God, because we declared ourselves God. And if we know anything, that is the very first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. You see, it's not just about our issues of sexuality. It goes something even closer to us, who may be seemingly without the major sins of the world. We all have this innate temptation to be our own God. And I think when we realize that, We aren't God. We don't have the answers. We don't have the ability to say what's right and wrong. So I urge you to continue to wrap yourself around God who knows what is best. It's okay to have a definitive right and wrong in this world. God tells us what is right and wrong, and that's okay. We don't have to come up with our own methods of discovering our identity. God tells you already have an identity, and it's a good one. When God made you, regardless of what you think about yourself, God intended you to be exactly who you are. The exact shape and color and size, and that's a good thing. What God made you to be is a beautiful thing. Don't let the world tell you differently. Don't let even yourself tell you differently. I said this before, and I'll say it again. God made you. God who made the whole beautiful world. You look at the beauty of nature. You go to a Grand Canyon and see how magnificent that is. You look at out in the ocean and see how beautiful it is. You are the crown of God's creation, and what God made is beautiful. God made you, and God does not make junk. So when we see ourselves even, we see other people struggling with finding meaning, we can know that we truly do have meaning by just existing who we are, that we are a product of a creator who is beautiful himself. So confront error. Tell the truth in love. That's a good thing. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Don't declare what is good evil. Don't declare what's evil good. Confront error, but in all things provide love. Regardless of a person's sin, it's no greater than this, any sin that we commit. We're all sinful people. That is part of our identity as sorts, but it's not our true identity. We're not just sinful people. We are forgiven people. We're claimed people by God. And that's the message, the real message of our topic today. That's what it's all about. It's not about what's sinful, what's right, what's wrong. It's what God is doing, what God has done. Regardless of what a person did or didn't do, regardless if they're straight or homosexual or anything in between, they are still a person that God died for, that was worthy for his death and for his life and his rising. And so we should treat them the same in love. And that's what it's all about. We'll continue on this message once more as we talk about our own Christian families and our marriages when we come next week. Until that time, go in peace and realize that we do all things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.